Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129. If you want to listen to more, subscribe to SiriusXM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern on the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.
Good day and welcome to the broadcast. I'm Father Matt Malone, Editor-in-Chief of America Magazine.
And I'm Carrie Weber, Executive Editor at America. And each week we offer you the news and analysis from the intersection of the church and the world, gathered by our team at America Media.
And one of our team joins us here in the studio, our Associate Editor, Olga Segura. Very nice to see you, Olga.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I haven't been here since 2017 with you guys, so Happy New Year.
I know. It does seem like it's been a long
right?
time.
Right? It's been very long.
Well, we had one of your fellow Jesuitical co-hosts on last week?
I think it was.
Mm-hmm. So for those listening, Olga is also a Jesuitical host.
Yes, I am.
We've now had all three.
Yeah,
on our flagship audio program.
Just so you know your place.
Jesuitical is now official.
Yeah, and folks can check that out. It's a podcast called Jesuitical by the young, hip, lay editors at America Magazine. And Olga is one third of the lay, hip, young editors who host it. And it's really great. People can check it out at our website, americamagazine.org. And, of course, one of the women helping to lead the church today is our guest, C. Vanessa White, who has just recently written a great piece for America called A Portrait of Black Catholicism, celebrating 40 years of the Black Catholic Theological Symposium.
Yes, Dr. C. Vanessa White. She's a past convener of this symposium, which is an interdisciplinary theological association of Black Catholic theologians and scholars. She's an advisor for the USCCB, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, their subcommittee on certification for ecclesial ministry and service. She contributed to CNN with an essay for their Black in America series about being Black and Catholic. And she's a regular contributor to Give Us This Day, the Daily Prayer Journal, and an inaugural contributor to the web-based Catholic Women Preach series. So she's a very accomplished theologian.
Pretty well qualified to
and
discuss
it. And we are very, very, very glad
to have... I don't know if I say all that, but thank you.
Well, we're very glad to have you either way, Dr. White. Welcome to the show.
Oh, it's good to be here. As you can hear, my voice is a little hoarse. I'm getting over the flu, so... Luckily, it won't go across the airwaves.
Right. No problem. So for folks who are not familiar with the Black Catholic Theological Symposium, can you give us a little bit of the history and background of how it started and what you do?
Okay, well, the Black Catholic Theological Symposium, or we call it the BCTS, and that's probably what I'll say from now on, the BCTS, was convened in 1978 in October at the mother house of the Oblate Sisters of Providence. The Oblate Sisters of Providence are the first Black religious order of women in the United States. And Father Thaddeus Posey, who was a Franciscan Capuchin, he was in many ways the convener of this group of Black Catholic theologians, historians, and scholars, bringing them together to really look at and articulate what it means to be Black and Catholic. And during this time, about 10 years earlier, the Black Catholic Clergy Caucus had been formed and the Black Catholic Sisters Conference had been formed. And so these three organizations really have been advocates in highlighting and promoting the gifts of Black Catholics to the church. And so many of the contributors that you've had, even for America Magazine, have been members of the BCTS. M. Sean Copeland, Brian Massengale, just to name a few. Jamie Phelps, I think, has also contributed. So what this symposium does, we come together once a year to be in discussion, scholarly discussion and dialogue on our research, the work that we are doing, as well as enter into dialogue in wherever place we are meeting, to also meet with the community to hear from them their concerns, because we believe that our research, our writing, our teaching has to be informed by the people in the pew, mm-hmm. the people in the community. So there is a nice dialogical relationship that's going on between the scholars, the Black Catholic scholars, as well as the people in the pews, I would say. That gives you a little bit of what the BCTS is about.
And Dr. White, can you talk a little bit about your specific role as one of the past conveners of the BCTS?
Okay, I was elected, in fact, I was elected about almost 10 years ago. What happens is that you're first elected to being associate convener, and then that rolls over to convener, and then you become the past convener. And the associate convener, when I...
Ah.
All right, I think... Dr. White, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, we lost you for a second there.
Oh, well, sorry.
Wherever you are, don't move.
Okay, yes, you've lost me. I can hear you.
Okay, nope, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, I can go on. Yep. Okay, so as associate convener, I was responsible for planning the theme of the particular meeting to asking for a call of papers and organizing the meeting in that particular host site. Normally, we are hosted at different universities where our scholars are teaching. And so the first one, I think I was in, it was a Catholic Theological Union. That's where I was teaching. And so normally the focus is around a particular topic that may be of importance at that time. I would say like this past year, because of Black Lives Matter and looking at the valuing of Black life was an important issue that we as theologians at our last gathering then addressed that in our writing and in our papers. But the meeting is a gathering of persons, of scholars, as we look at various issues. And so for 3 years, that's what I did. I was primarily involved with the planning of the meeting. At that time also, I was very, for me, it was very important that we also enter into dialogue with our brothers and sisters from other racial and ethnic communities. And so the Academy of Catholic Hispanic Theologians of the United States, OCTHUS, they also gather annually, and some of our OCTHUS members were at CTU, so we began to be in dialogue with one another and work to see how we can work together, because we truly believe that it's in working together that we're stronger than working individually.
Sure.
And so as when I became convener, it was very important for me to continue that relationship. And so at the Catholic Theological Society of America, which I'm also a member, we were very intentional about having the Latinoa community of theologians as well as the Asian community of theologians come together, and we would do shared papers and enter into dialogue with each other.
You're listening
for the benefit of the larger church, because this was something, what had tended to happen is that we were presenting papers, and but normally who was coming to our papers were those from our own communities.
Yeah.
And we said that that's not, that's really still keeping us marginalized, that what the gifts that we have to share and the concerns that we have are for the entire church.
Right.
So maybe if we work together and present these papers together, and what did tend to happen is that...
Well, we lost Dr. White. We're having some communication problems with her phone.
Olga, this is a piece that you edited.
Correct.
So I imagine that you were learning things as well.
I did. I was actually, even though I work at a Catholic media ministry and very plugged into the Catholic world, I had not heard about the Black Catholic Theological Symposium. And it was very illuminating to kind of just learn more about the Black Catholic experience, which so often gets kind of ignored or whitewashed. So it was nice to learn that people who I'm familiar with are a part of this, and they gather every year and they get together and they talk about things that we talk about in the office and they write. So it was fascinating to know that you could still learn and discover new organizations like this that are doing wonderful work.
Well, at the first conference, Dr. White, you wrote that you were coming together to focus on defining Black theology and the challenge of association of terms like Black and Black consciousness with violence and separatism. Today, as a Black Catholic, what are some of your major concerns about the Black Catholic Church in the U.S. And what the church is facing today?
Well, I think today the BCTS and the church need to respond more actively and directly to the institutional challenges faced by people of color, which would include police violence against unarmed persons, LGBTQ discrimination, gender inequality, and other disparities. At the same time, the institutional church also challenges the symposium to not only follow our church teachings, but to express them in the current traditional or theological language. Hello?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll make sure I'm still here. It looked like I was going out again.
Oh, okay.
So one of the things that we must do also as theologians is to be able to speak in a language that the people can understand, to help the people understand what the church is teaching and how things are being expressed in a language that they can understand that would have meaning for Black Catholics and for Black life.
Yeah. And what do you think the major misconceptions are among American Catholics, broadly speaking, regarding the Black Catholic experience?
Well, one of the things I would say is that they think that how we express ourselves, that what our way of expressing our spirituality, and I've heard this many times, oh, that's Baptist, or that's, that's Protestant. And what they do not understand is that historically, looking at how our spirituality has evolved, that within the Catholic Church, each community has had leadership from that community that then has been able to shape the style of worship, the style of expression. But for Black Catholics, because of racism, there was not the leadership of Black Catholic priests as religious sisters, as other leaders. Seminaries were closed to Black Catholics, so you did not have priests until the late 1800s. It really was in the 20th century where the first Black priests were ordained in the United States.
Wow.
In fact. And so because of the fact that you do not have the leadership that helps to inform and advocate for the spirituality of a people, then what happens is what Sister Jamie Phelps, a systematic theologian, said, that when she grew up and she was a good German Catholic, she was a good Irish Catholic. It wasn't until she became an adult and learned about the spirituality of Black Catholics she became a good Black Catholic.
Oh, that's fascinating, the ways in which the different cultures influence you as an individual. How was your own faith formed growing up?
Well, I was raised Catholic, went to Catholic school, never heard about Black saints, mm-hmm. never heard about, didn't know about Black sisters until, I think, the eighth grade, and one of my friends, her aunt was a sister with the Holy Family Sisters, and I saw my first Black sister, and that was around eighth grade. But it really wasn't until I became a young adult and learned about the Xavier University's Institute for Black Catholic Studies, which in a sense was formed out of the BCTS. Many of the leadership of the Institute were members of the BCTS. I went there in the late 80s, and that was where I really learned about the gifts and the spirituality and the richness of the Black Catholic community.
Right. Yeah, it sounds like it would be a very formative experience.
Right. Many of the people who were originally at that first BCTS meeting, like Father Bede Abrams, Father Cyprian Davis, Sister Thea Bowman, they were instructors, they were professors at Xavier University's Institute for Black Catholic Studies. Mm-hmm. So what they were doing through their research, then they were teaching the next generation of Black Catholics about the history and the richness of our Catholicism. So now today, I teach down at the Institute for Black Catholic Studies. I feel that I'm giving back what was given to me.
Yeah. What's interesting, Doctor, is that that response, you know, that you referred to, that you've sometimes heard from white Catholics, you know, who say, "Well, that's kind of a Baptist way of doing it," is itself actually a kind of congregationalist way of thinking, because it has this notion that Catholicism can only be expressed, or Christianity can only be expressed in this specific way and in this specific time and space, and in with this particular kind of cultural expression, and you know, that's contrary to our understanding of who we are as Catholics, and contrary to our Catholic imagination.
Right. That is definitely true. And so, as a professor of spirituality, when I'm able to journey with my students, black, white, Latino, Asian, Native, when I'm able to journey with them and help them see how this line in this history, and how we experience our spirituality, and how this spirituality then shapes our liturgy, then shapes our way of being as Catholics, they have that aha moment. It's like, oh, yes, and it helps them then to retrieve and look back at their own spiritual and religious upbringing.
Right. No, that makes sense. Was there a particular course or class or even just experience while you were at the at Xavier that really helped to form you and to say, you know what, I don't want to just be, you know, the best black Catholic I can be. I want to be a theologian, and this is going to be my career as well.
It was probably Beat Abrams' class, Black Approach to Theology.
Mm-hmm.
That class was the aha moment. One of the things that he did in that class, almost the first day of class, he came into the class, slammed the door, and said, "Somebody stole all my stuff." And we're like, "Somebody stole all my stuff? What's he talking?" And he said it again, "Somebody stole all my stuff." And we're sitting there going, "I didn't steal it," whatever. But then what he began doing for the next 3 weeks, he began to unpack how, as black Catholics, our spirituality, our history has been stolen. We don't know it.
But
we have to retrieve it. And then what we begin learning about it, and then we have to give it back to the church. So that class was important. Then actually, when I was down at the Institute, I decided to continue my graduate studies at Catholic Theological Union. And at that time, Sister Jamie Phelps was systematic theologian at Catholic Theological Union. And she taught a course in black spirituality, and I took her course. And that course at Catholic Theological Union then helped to cement for me what it was I needed to study.
Right, right. Can you elaborate on that a little bit? How did it sort of cement it?
Well, one of the things that I remember she said in that class, and also in another class, that as black Catholic, as black people, we normally have been raised not to, we believe in God. We have that experience of God. It's like deep down in our soul. Sister Thea Bowman speaks about that spirituality is like soul spirituality. It's rooted in our soul. And that we don't have an experience, we usually do not have an experience of questioning, is there a God? We question how God is working in this situation. It's our family. It's how our family has raised us. It's how we were nurtured. How we came to have meaning in life was through the prayers of our communities, through our ancestors.
Yeah, there's
and sharing from our grandmothers and sharing those stories and the importance of storytelling in the community. And so that's really one of the things that I've tried to retrieve, is that we need to again begin telling our stories. That we are sometimes so busy we do not tell our stories. And it's the stories that have meaning, is the stories that help our youth then survive.
Right.
And
right.
So we must begin to again to tell the stories of what our faith means to us, how it has helped us during times of trouble, how we can say that trouble doesn't last always. What are some of those sayings? When I think back to even my class at the Institute, one of the things that Beat Abrams said was those sayings of your grandmother and your grandfather and your aunts and uncles that helped you to make it through. Trouble don't last always. God don't like ugly.
Right.
I got shoes, you got shoes, everybody got shoes. You know, some of those things that helped us to see that we're all equal, that we all are people of faith, and we all can, if we are open to allowing God to work in our lives, the transformative nature of our faith.
Right, right. And I mean, the point that really resonates with me is the importance of a community knowing its history, right? And
yes.
Of being conscious of, you know, where we have come from. And I, you know, as a white Irish Catholic who grew up around Boston, it's a, whenever we learned about the Black Catholic experience, it was always from the point of view of white folks, you know, like the,
right.
You know, we learned the story of John Lafarge and his work at America and so forth for racial justice, or, you know, Peter Claver, what have you. And but having a much more robust understanding, right, not only of one's own history, but of the history of the folks who are sitting next to you in the pews, either literally or symbolically.
And realizing that our history, if it was not for the lay people, Black Catholic lay people, we would not have probably survived, because it was the Black Catholic, because we did not have a lot of Black priests, we did not have a lot of Black sisters, but what we had was the faith of lay people who then supported the priests and the sisters, and nurtured them and their calling. And it was their faith that helped us to continue. One of the things that you said that struck me, and it reminds me of a saying, is to know your history is to know your greatness.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we must know our history.
Yeah.
We must know our history. There is a Ghanaian symbol called Sankofa, which means to reach back to move forward. That you must reach back and learn from your history to be able to truly move forward.
Yeah.
And so that is what we at the BCTS, at the Black Catholic Theological Symposium, that is what we are trying to do. We are trying, through our research, through our teaching, through our writing, to retrieve the richness and the history of Black Catholicism for a new generation today.
Well, amen to that. The piece is called A Portrait of Black Catholicism, Celebrating 40 Years of the Black Catholic Theological Symposium, and you can find it at americamagazine.org. C. Vanessa White has been our guest. Thank you so much for being with us, Doctor.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Sure thing. Really an extraordinary story, and, it's not as if, you know, we all learn this is what the Church believes, in CCD or what have you, or in a theology class, but it's not as if this stuff fell out of the sky, right?
Right.
God has revealed this to us, and God did so in history, right? That's what Advent and Christmas were all about, which we just celebrated, right? That God has entered human history and is still in human history. So this question of, like, what is our history? What is the history we need to learn? What is the history we need to unlearn? Is so crucially important.
Right. I mean, we talked a couple weeks back about Sister Mary Antona Ibo, who recently passed away, who was a Black Catholic sister who was a pioneer. And learning about that history really makes me understand more some of the sins of the Church and the faults of the Church and the racism that the Church has institutionally participated in, but also just the amazing faith of the Black Catholics like Sister Ibo, who persisted in their faith when people basically said, you know, you can't do this, or you can't be that, or you're going to be in this separate section for Black sisters. You know, that it feels like today being a member of the Catholic Church is difficult at times, right? People ask strange questions of you, or you have to follow the rules that we do. And yet, to do all of that, right, but in the context of people saying, like, you're not really welcome here,
right,
is just an amazing, amazing testimony to the kind of faith that people have to persist, and that's the kind of history she's talking about.
Yeah, no, it truly is. And, I, for one, think that we could stand to have a little less Irish influence in the liturgy in the United States. Have
you ever...
We've made so many great contributions to the church in this country that I don't want to take away from that, but sometimes, my God, these liturgies that I go to in Boston, it's like no one's had a joyful thought in 10 years.
Well, if you've ever gone up, there's two black Catholic parishes up in Harlem here in New York, and if you've ever been to either of those, they're some of the most joyful experiences that you've ever had. And I actually find them very good evangelizing opportunities. I had relatives come in from Wisconsin, and that took them up there to talk to a just to go to the mass there and talk to a friend who lives up there. And they, you know, normally wouldn't go to mass, but were fascinated by the music because it was a gospel style music, by the beautiful voices, by the choir, by the enthusiasm, and really opened up their view of what the church can be.
Yeah. Well, when Dr. White said, oh, when people say, but you know, we'd like to, this liturgy seems kind of Baptist, I was like, you know, in a way, I'd like a little more of that, please.
Yeah, exactly.
We have to give an account of the joy that's within us. You've been listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. You can read more about all that we talked about today at americamagazine.org, or you can also follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. And to subscribe to America, call 1-800-627-9533. That's 1-800-627-9533 for a smart Catholic take on faith and culture. For Carrie Weber and Olga Segura, I'm Father Matt Malone. Thank you and good day.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to listen to more, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.